Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
It is good to have you back, Mike Bell, as he is back from his European escapade. I think that's what we can call it. We got a lot to break up, man, a lot to talk about. Braves making a move literally the last 15 minutes, and we'll talk about what they've done to try to help this pitching staff. It is not what you think it is. But it is something. Craig, I hope you had a great weekend. Behind the glass, our engineer, he's still taking a knee because all mics matter. Bo Morgan producing the show. But, bro, from the pitchers last week, it seemed like you guys had a wonderful time.
It really was a blast. I have never been to Madrid. I've been to Barcelona before. But, yeah, people are great. And I think one thing we always talk about on the show, sports is the great kind of common ground for everybody. And it's funny, I was in a park in Madrid, kind of like their version of Central Park in New York. And they got these little pop-up stands. And so I'm drinking a cold brew. And I had an Atlanta Hawks pullover on. And waiter starts chatting us up, and he's like, he literally points at my logo. He goes, Hawks, Trae Young. I go, yeah. And he goes like to his chest. He goes, Luka Doncic, because he was a Real Madrid fan.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, we're chopping it up. And you don't know how big the NBA is over there in Europe. I mean, you see NBA, you see LeBron jerseys everywhere. We were in Barcelona watching one of the playoff games, and just I was told this one guy, if I could get him to call in Spanish, he'd go, Harden is poor.
He is poor. He did nothing.
He does not play the defense. No, so I'm like, this, you sound like our radio show, my friend. But we sold our brand of Hey Man Ale all over the Mediterranean, so it's a big hit with a lot of bartenders. We got to get a distribution deal in the south of Spain because I sent a lot of pictures of a Hey Man Ale, and it was a big hit over there, man.
Man, listen, and I saw the guy. I guess they had some guy had their own charcoal, right?
Yeah, I just, you know me, man. I roll along with the grace of the Lord above, and we just seem to luck into, my wife and I, these awesome situations when we travel. And this was another one where we go to this restaurant, which is the Basque region is a part of Spain, which is famous for its food. And they have a small restaurant, which is a replica of the original family restaurant, which uses a small wood stove, Carl, to cook steaks.
Yes.
And it's the slow burn. And they put the salt on it. And it's unbelievable. The chef is a celebrity chef. And I can't pronounce his name because it's Basque. But Ezekiel is his first name. And so we start chatting, and the guy looks like typical, like, Spanish rock star, long hair, the beard. All the women were swooning over this dude, including my wife. So anyway, we start chatting, and he goes, hey, she has his own charcoal. And I go, well, I have my own beer. Next thing you know, we're getting a royal treatment again. So I guess having your own beer makes you look like a celebrity over there, which I guess it kind of does. But we had a great time, great steaks. And I was thinking of you as the grill master because it was arguably the best steak I've ever had.
Well, I saw those pictures, and I'm just, you know, we're salivating. Michelle and I are like, oh, the meats. It looks so damn good.
You know what, brother? As an American, I think if you are over in Europe, and if you can say I'm a stupid American in any language, people laugh at that, and it sort of breaks the ice. Because I thought I had a reservation for this place because it's very exclusive, but I didn't. All I had was a waiting list. You're on the waiting list.
Yeah.
And I walked up to the guy, and he's like, oh, I'm like, no reservation? And I thought it was the best steakhouse in Europe. The guy goes, momento. So they wind up putting us Yeah. I'm literally like, I've heard you're the greatest chef in the land. They end up putting us in this little table up at the top of the, like, right by the kitchen, like a butcher's block type table. So in America, this would be like you getting the special treat. Like, if you went to Rathman's, this would be like Kevin Rathman cooking right for you. So we're sitting there. Next thing you know, we're up 2 bottles of wine. They bring shots afterwards. I meet the business partner. We start chatting. Next thing you know, my wife's like, we've been here 3.5 hours. That's how you eat over there, man.
Yes, it is.
But anyway.
And everything is slowed down. Now, listen, right. I want to hear, I think our listeners want to hear your experiences. And we've got all week. We'll chop it right up. On. But we'll get to a bunch of stuff, man. But it's good to have you back. And a lot happened while you were away. But, boy, a lot happened this weekend, guys. Mm. We're going to talk about Atlanta United and the disappointment that was. Man down, and we still couldn't score.
That's frustrating. That's one of the ugliest matches I've watched. It was painful to watch.
It was. And then the melee, as Mike Conte said, in stoppage time, which we'll talk about. Obviously, the Atlanta Braves top of mind as well. This was a prove-it kind of series. And John Trucker, who filled in for you on Thursday and Friday, we talked about this. The Braves proved a lot to me over the weekend in regards to, hey, can we play with some of these better teams? You think about these series that we just went through, guys. L.A., not so good. You go to Arizona, you win the series, right? You come back home, you beat the Cardinals and the Brewers. So all of a sudden, things look a lot brighter when you go, hey, how do we stand up to some of these better teams? But the Braves have just made a move, and they have acquired right-handed pitcher Anthony Swarzak.
Who?
Anthony Swarzak.
Okay.
And cash considerations from the Seattle Mariners in exchange for right-handed pitcher Aroldis Vizcaino and Jesse Biddle. In other words, guys, Vizcaino and Biddle are gone. Okay.
And Viz, unfortunately, with the arm injury, we never got a chance to see him establish himself as the closer. And I know a lot of people are saying, are we gonna make a big move at the trade deadline? Yeah, we got plenty of time before then. You're still right there with the Philly's not running away with this thing. That's the good news. If you had a better bullpen, you might probably be in first place by 2 or 3 games. But Carl, Vizcaino, you're giving up on him, and Biddle really couldn't get the job done. Don't know much about Swarzak other than what you and I were just talking about off the air. A big ERA, 3 saves and 15 opportunities. He's 33 years of age, and the numbers aren't great. And he had, he obviously was somebody Seattle was ready to move on for, so it's not that impressive. It's interesting that they finally realized Vizcaino's not going to be the man here.
Well, and if you're a Braves fan right now and you're going to Dukesonville, how does this guy help? I mean, what's the deal? He is a guy that can come in and give you a late innings option, okay?
Okay.
That's what he's going to bring. This is a journeyman, a guy that's been on 6 now. This will be his 7th club. He's been in the major leagues 10 years, so he's a vet, Mike. He knows what it's about. He's 33 years old. He will come in here, and he will do exactly what they try to ask him to do. My question is, there have been times in his career he's been up and he's been down. This is not we just solidified the back half of our bullpen kind of move. Right. This is another veteran guy who can come in and give you late inning options when you go, all right, maybe you don't want to, throw Luke Jackson out there. You want to go in a different direction. So be it. We'll see how it plays out. I won't make a judgment on this, but I do commend the Braves for getting rid of a guy that you weren't going to see this year in Vizcaino and Biddle, who was hot garbage.
Yeah, I know Venters got released while I was on vacation. And look, Johnny, by the way, everybody was pulling for the guy. And I think sometimes Braves fans almost get too sentimental with guys that have been around here for a minute. He just wasn't getting it done. We all want to see a guy with the multiple Tommy Johns do it. So they moved on from Venters. Now they move on from Biddle, and you won't see Viz anytime. So now you got to try to find that next big closer at some point, too, whether you do it through a trade or you got that guy in your club somewhere.
All right, so Braves take 2 of 3 from the Brewers, but that trade just going down. And so he comes over from Seattle, by the way. He started the season there with the Mariners, and we'll talk more about that as the day goes on. But that is the deal that the Braves make. Meanwhile, how much of the golf, and I know you were just getting back, how much of the golf did you pay attention to?
You know, it's easy to follow over there, with the internet and everything. So I was watching, and Brooks Koepka, who's already won 3 majors, now 4, got off to an amazing start. And then, even par on Saturday, and then he had to grind it out yesterday. The crowd turned on him for some reason, rooting for, I don't know why you're rooting for Dustin Johnson.
DJ! DJ!
And how about CBS, by the way? He's got a really difficult shot that could turn into a disaster on 18, and they've got an interview with a guy who doesn't have a personality in Dustin Johnson. So table that conversation till after the shot. I was losing my mind. Like, where's the shot? I saw people on social media saying the same thing.
I had a hard time. I'm not going to lie, and I don't know how many of you did. Listen, we love the majors. Mike and I, we play golf. We talk about this, and we pay attention to the majors. With or without Tiger, right? Now, is it better with Tiger? Duh. But Tiger gets annihilated in the first couple of days, doesn't make the cut. Right. And if you're Tiger, you're going, well, at least I was in Koepka's group because this guy ran away with it from wire to wire. But for me, I had a hard time paying attention because he comes into Sunday with a 7-shot lead on one of the most difficult courses, and I'm thinking, he's not going to blow this. And Mike, He almost did.
Yeah, I mean, four bogeys in a row in the back nine. The wind was really whipping up. It's about 5 or 6 miles from the beach where Bethpage is, but the wind was coming up from the south, and that was causing havoc. You know, Rory wasn't a factor. Spieth wasn't a factor. And Dustin Johnson kicked it into gear. Crowd turned on Brooks. I think they wanted to see another course record, and once they didn't see that, they wanted to see some action. Somebody, and the New York fans, I get it. It's fun to not be, you know, Augusta, but they're almost too over the top. It's almost like, you want crazy? I'll give you crazy. In the middle of like one of the whole CBS microphone picks up a guy going, I'm bored. Okay. Well, you know what? Then go to a Hooters on Hempstead Turnpike and knock yourself out. But it was not what we were looking for. You just laid it out. TV ratings were abysmal. Dustin Johnson, just when you think he makes a run, he implodes on 17 and 18. So Brooks does have to make a nice par save at the end. Not that he had to, but he did make a nice second shot. He had to play a little bit safe, was able to salvage a par on 18 for the win.
So we're going to talk about what Brooks Koepka is. I'll say this. First of all, he's the best golfer on tour right now. But he's also an enigma. And because of it, we, not just Mike and I, all of us are having a hard time connecting with Brooks Koepka. It's an issue for golf when your best player right now is doing what he's doing, and he has this enigma personality thing that's going on. We're going to get into that. It's Dukes and Bell. We invite you to follow us across all social media platforms, guys. Follow the radio station, 929 The Game. Of course, follow us on Facebook. Like us if you've not already done so. Twitter, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, see Dukes. And this radio show is Dukes and Bell, 929. Now, normally, we give you 48 hours.
I know where you're going on this.
But not today. And we're not giving you 48 hours because it was the biggest season finale in a very long time. The world knew about it and everybody was watching. So if you missed it, you by now, if you've been on any social media whatsoever today, you know how this thing played out. And even if you didn't, so what? We're talking about it. Mike Bell, I was completely unsatisfied and disappointed last night as Game of Thrones finale played out. Now, as the show goes on today, we'll talk about different elements, okay? And why I felt this way and why many of you felt this way. And I had a guy last night, you know, you just don't get it. No, I get it. I know a good damn finale when I see one.
Look, I never read the books. I only know the TV show. The TV show stayed pretty much loyal to the books with a few tweaks along the way. But for those, and you don't have to be a fan of the show to understand when we can criticize this. But in a nutshell, they kind of moved at a very deliberate pace. They had some storylines that, you know, went on for years. And they raced to the finish. They really compressed the season last year and this year. And just, now I know they were longer episodes, Carl, you know, hour and a half, hour and 40, but they just raced to the finish line and just ran over some of the storylines and then pulled some stuff at the end where you're like, I waited 8 years for this? You know, it's the Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? It's like, who will win the Game of Thrones? Well, the finish was not the payoff I think we were looking for. Still the best television out there. Episode before, visually amazing. Two of the best, I mean, visually striking episodes you'll ever see. Production value through the roof, but I'm with you. I was literally like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like, it's so unfulfilling.
Well, that's it. I ate a meal last night, and then I was still hungry, okay? I shouldn't have felt that way with one of the best series to ever be done. And a guy said, well, I'm glad I didn't watch. I'm not telling you don't watch. If you didn't see Game of Thrones, go check out the seasons. There are some moments, as in every television show, that are phenomenal, okay? Here was my problem, though, with last night when you talk about it was an uncompelling finale.
Right.
What was compelling about it? Where is the buzz? Where is everybody today talking about, man, I cannot believe I saw that.
And again,
that's missing.
You had a character who in one episode helps to save the world and, you know, almost in like in one episode now she's a raving lunatic and she's got a bloodlust and she's going off the rocker. And they don't develop that over time. I mean, that's what people like me were having a problem with, Carl, is you got to stretch that storyline over. You need another season is what you needed.
And they could have.
And they have enough material. I don't get it because, look, people were watching. HBO subscriptions were through the roof. People were getting it just to watch the show. And the production value, as Carl and I said, it's better than some stuff you'll see in a motion picture. So, yeah, very, very, very unsatisfied.
How does Jon Snow get Night's Watch?
There's nothing to watch.
There's no wall, okay? I mean, I'm losing my mind last night.
And by the way, if the Unsullied, the army's unhappy, they're not even around. They left.
Mush. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Really, Bo? Throne?
Are you serious? Well, that was apropos.
Throne. T-H-R-O-N-E is the code word. That is perfect.
And there ain't even a throne to sit on.
No, there isn't. 72881, which is a whole nother discussion. 72881 is the number. Text it right now. Throne is the code word for your chance to win $1,000. Hey, we had a $1,000 winning last week, my man.
Nice. There you go. Good job, whoever was filling in. Let's give away some loot. Text Throne to 72881 now.
Mike Bell's back. We'll hit some headlines next.
And who has a better story than Brand the Broken?
Quick reminder, Intercom presents the Tycoon Music Festival starring Kendrick Lamar, Chris Brown, Trey Songz, 50 Cent. It's Saturday, June 8th at Solaris Amphitheater at Lakewood. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. All right, so you're coming off this amazing vacation. And I'm more excited to hear, you know, more about some of the things you got a chance to do, including something that I would recommend. You know, we always talk about sports bucket list.
Right.
Mike did something that I think if you get a chance to do in your lifetime, you should do it. My wife actually got a chance to do this, and we were talking about it. I've never done it, but I've heard amazing things about it. So that story's coming up a little bit later on. And also, Mike, I was a complete idiot this weekend, and you can totally relate to this. So,
because I'm an idiot on a regular basis.
Well, this is something that, you know, kind of hits home with both of us. And I want to explain this story later as well. But when it happened, I thought about you, and I thought about how much fun you're going to have when I tell you what I did and what an idiot I am. So stay tuned for that. It's
all
Fitz
right.
and Bell.
We're going to give you some good stuff in case you missed it. Conti is off today, so we'll fill it in with some shenanigans at 3:40 and 5:40 for you today. But, yeah, man, the well, I was gone, by the way, and I'm not going to rehash everything. Just real quick, what was the reaction about Pioli moving on? I read Schultz's article. I thought that was kind of a
What's that sound?
Oh. Anyway, I'm glad Jeff has that great relationship with Mr. Pioli. But it was interesting because we just don't know, because we're not privy to what exactly his job description was. We were told he would obviously handle a lot of development of
scouting
with college and perhaps maybe offensive line. He had input on that. But, the thing is, you and I would be out there at Flowery Branch over the years, and Scott would be jogging by.
Yeah.
And a million times, and again, that's not a formal interview request. Go, hey, Scott, you want to come on the air?
Yeah.
But we always wanted to try to get his take. So it just... for us, he was rather enigmatic. We didn't really get a chance to know what exactly he was doing when he was here.
I would say this, and this applies to any of you, no matter what your job is. You have a boss, right? And then your second boss, your second in command, okay? And I'm not sure how you describe what that second in command does. Like, to what effect does he have on the overall success of whatever business you're in,
right?
So your boss, whether deserving or not, may get more credit than he deserves, or more criticism. But at the end of the day, he's the guy that everybody talks about. And so for me, I look at Scott Pioli, and for the 5 years he was here, Mike, no disrespect, what moves was he in on?
Right.
Who did he really help bring here? Or was it more Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff? I just don't know to what effect he had overall on our football team, and maybe it was greater than we're giving him credit for. So because of that, I think the reaction was,
kind of muted, right?
Yeah, because people go, all right, the assistant general manager is leaving. If it was Thomas Dimitroff, I guarantee you there would have been a much bigger uproar,
right?
Simply because there's more pressure, more scrutiny, and there are more eyes on him, right?
And that's the thing. Just curious how that played out, because, again, we know he had a role in this, because remember, always awkward, too, when, you know, you got your boss is a guy that, now you're working, he's working under you in the case of Dimitroff. When he's coming up into New England. And, his relationship with Bill Belichick, obviously Pioli all those years. But, yeah, man, that was interesting. Then I saw the Braves. Basically, I was – because with Twitter, you can follow everything. And, ESPN, of course, over there becomes Deportes. So, damn it. Why didn't I take Spanish in high school? But it just looked like the Braves just keep on grinding, and the Phillies are not running away with the division. So let's just hope – now, this is a small move today, small potatoes, although you do move on from Vizcaino, as you said, to go get Anthony Swarzak. But are we going to be a big mover at the trade deadline? Because, again, the division is right there for the taking if they're going to be able to step up and beef up the bullpen.
Keep Austin Riley in the lineup, okay? I know he struck out 3 times yesterday. I don't care. We talked about this. It's baseball.
He's raking.
Yes. You keep him in the lineup, and I think you still go address some of these other needs to answer your question. And that could even be, and Dave O'Brien was on with us last week, that could even be a Madison Bumgarner going to solidify the starting pitching.
I can't imagine him not wanting. I know he's got a list of teams he would not or would go to, but being from North Carolina and stuff, I think that's closer to home. And
well,
I know people are saying, what's he got left in the tank? I'd roll the dice with him in a minute.
No doubt. He's, to me, he's a veteran presence that's won and knows what it's about. I mean, he immediately steps in the clubhouse and guys go, okay, I know who Madison Bumgarner is and I know what he's been able
to
do.
Hell, you could use him as a you could use him as a pinch hitter. He's a great hitter.
You could.
No, I'm serious. He's got a ton of home runs on the all-time list of pitchers.
So I do think that that's an option. And I'm not going to say that we're going to be, you know, movers and shakers and we're going to go three or four guys, but I do think we're going to do something. I'll say this too, by the way, because our boss, our second boss, just walked in. There are places where the second in charge does a lot more than the guy that's in charge. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, Atlanta United Boom. Loses to the New York Red Bulls 1-0. Let's hear the final call. Mm. Speaking of a frustrating day, because this is kind of how my day went yesterday. It was Atlanta United losing. Game of Thrones, not sleeping.
Picked up by Shotkoski.
And he blows the final whistle.
They didn't let him take the free kick.
What in the world is Robert Sabiga doing to end this match?
And now we have a melee. Tito Villalba is in it along with Shotkoski. A fight has broken out here right
at the
net.
It's a lot of pushing and shoving right now. There's no punches being thrown.
Romario Williams trying to pull Tito Villalba out of traffic. The match is over. Atlanta United has lost.
We're going to talk to Jason Longshore in less than 10 minutes. Stay there as the analyst for Atlanta United will join us, Mike. So what went wrong? We had an advantage, guys, for 55 minutes of this match, and we couldn't get it done.
Yeah, you know, it's the style of waiting for the play to develop. And there were sometimes, if you're watching, I didn't have the radio broadcast, I had the TV broadcast, where DeBoer is kind of telling the guys, like, move it, let's go, let's get things rolling. Pity was sloppy yesterday. You know, it was great to see Pity Martinez get his first goal. I was out of town. And unfortunately, Pity yesterday got too cute with the footwork, some sloppy passes. We got away with some sloppy passes in the first 5 minutes. But we just looked like we were sleepwalking. Some of their better players were out once again. Then they lose. It was Parker went out with the red card. And the red card was totally justified because Joseph's, you know, he's unimpeded to the net. So, yeah, I don't know what that was unless you just tip your cap to the Red Bulls. Red Bulls were more physical. They were getting away with some chippy play. The ref was completely incompetent. We're used to that in MLS. But, yeah, no excuse, Carl. When you got a man advantage, you got to press the attack and get it done.
Frank DeBoer, what did you think?
Still, I'm proud of the team that they wanted. They fought for the last second. And, yeah. Again, you know, it's a pity because when there was a time to get 3 points out of here, it was today.
Yeah, we should have gotten some points. I will say this, and we'll talk to Jason coming up. There has to be carryover come July 9th when the Red Bulls come to Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
It's personal now. The whole disrespecting when Tito, you know, gets taken out, you're yelling at our guy. That's on a whole different level, all right? The soccer's one thing. Now it's personal. We don't like Orlando, Mike. I don't like the Red Bulls even more now.
Yeah, and look, we beat them. We did what it did. They got the supporter shield, but we got it done last year. You know, we just had to grind it out after we whipped up on them here at Mercedes-Benz. There is a rivalry there. I know Tito Villalba was getting after it with Kamar Lawrence. And Lawrence, he's been a goon for them against us for a number of games. They are physical. They are chippy. You know, but look, you know within 5 minutes what the ref's letting go and what he isn't. So, unfortunately, yeah, we want to get a win for all the reasons you just laid out. But that's awful. And Brad, I know that they say a header is hard to defend because you don't know where it's going to go, but he looked awful. It almost like Brad looked a little Keystone's Cop on that one goal.
More on Atlanta United coming up. Meanwhile, Folti, good outing. This is what we've been waiting on. We didn't know if he's been injured or something's going on, but Folti comes in, pitches well. It's not why you lost yesterday, as they just had better bullpen, you know, in the 10th. We lose 3-2 on Sunday. We'll talk about what Freddie did, but let's hear from Folti first.
My pitches were coming out a lot better than they were in the past. I mean, I was staying closed, wasn't an open up, threw a lot of good changeups. We were more favoring the curveball a little bit more than the slider today, but I threw some good sliders as well. Fastball was coming out, so it was just a overall good day with, you know, mechanic where I needed to be.
Now, the story that was interesting is, and I saw, because just when I landed yesterday, I saw Twitter going bananas about what was, you know, Skipper doing. What was Brian Snitker thinking? Folti has got low blood sugar because he doesn't eat. And Jeff Schultz had an article about it in The Athletic. I mean, literally, somebody get him a Snickers. Because the strategy of the game is you don't have the at-bat just to get taken out. So he got a little dizzy, and, you know, he was decent. He still gave up two, you know, moon balls. You know, the two of the big hits, Carl, landed over the fence.
Yeah.
But the way he's been struggling, it was a strong outing, to your point, for Folti before he got a little tuckered out.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, Yelich is killing everybody. I'm not mad at that. I just think that the fan base, has been waiting on, like, where's the Folti from last year? That's as close as he looked to last year.
Mixing speeds up, you know, I mean, drew a few curveballs. I mean, he still doesn't look like the Fulte from last year, but this was a step in the right direction. It just, again, it was like, what? Because you make your manager look like an idiot when you're not taking care of yourself. But that's part of your job, by the way. You know, try to figure out when you're going to get something in your body so you can make it to do your job.
By the way, Austin Riley, he played third base, which is his natural position yesterday. That's where he started. Three Ks. I don't care. Eight hits, two home runs in his first four games. He's been on fire, and hopefully he'll be in there tonight as they head to San Francisco. Soroka on the hill tonight for the Braves.
And Dave O'Brien, by the way, Carl, saying that in addition to getting the pitcher, Swarzak, Braves got cash in the deal to offset the $8.5 million salary. Biddle had been designated for assignment, so he was gone.
Hot garbage!
And unfortunately, Vizcaino, after getting hurt in the middle of last year and then can't stay healthy, so that's a guy you got to move on from. So basically, if you're just tuning in, we got a guy named Swarzak, and we'll see what this guy can do in the relief job.
Let's hear from PGA champion Brooks Koepka.
I'm just glad we didn't have to play any more holes. That was a stressful round of golf. It was that wind was up. DJ played awesome. Congrats to him. You know, he put the pressure on, but I'm glad to have this thing back in my hands.
They're buddies. They hang out together in the same part of Florida, Carl, out there by Jupiter. But look, Koepka does not have a lot of personality. Neither does Dustin Johnson. But the guy is winning majors, Carl. He's winning four now. He's only behind Tiger as far as how many matches to win the four majors. So he's doing something special, and he is unflappable. But that was a tough New York crowd that got a little under his skin, those four bogeys in a row.
This is the best part for me about what happened yesterday. So to Mike's point, the crowd starts chanting DJ. For those who missed it, he's just kind of rolling any bogeys 11 through 14, okay? So imagine the crowd, the gallery. DJ! DJ!
Because he starts making a run.
That's right. Koepka was asked about it after he wins yesterday. He says, did it surprise him? He goes, no. You're in New York. What did you expect when you're half choking it away? That's a great comment because that's exactly what was happening.
Right on.
Hey, man, we got more to get to, including our conversation with Jason Longshore. It's next on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The decision about what's best for everyone should be left to everyone.
It is brought to you by Heineken. Jason joins us, guys. Remember, Heineken, great taste, zero alcohol. It is Dukes and Bell. And, Jason, I want to jump right in and get your take. We'll talk plenty about the match and some of the performances or lack thereof. But what happened at the end of this match and stoppage time with Tito? How did it start? Who was it with? And what was this all about?
Oh, man, so much to talk about from this one. First off, if you don't have your tickets set up for the rematch in July at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you probably want to get those because there might be a steel cage around the field. It's that kind of rivalry now. It's good in that sense. But what happened, from what we could tell, it was a very hard challenge at the end of the game with Kamar Lawrence and Tito Villalba, and it sounds like there had been a lot of talking between the two of them throughout the game. Kamar Lawrence was outstanding yesterday. He's one of the best left backs in the league. He showed it. He owned his side of the field, and he had a lot of things to say before the game, and he had a lot of things to say after the game. And Tito Villalba said that he had a lot of things to say to him during the game that were very disrespectful. So a lot of jawing. I thought it went beyond, you know, the, like, yeah, let's act like we're upset with one another, but really nobody's going to do anything. I thought it was a step beyond that. I mean, there was a lot of heat to all of those confrontations, and they continued for quite a while afterwards.
Yeah, there's a lot of jawing. They're bigger than us. I mean, a lot of teams in this league are bigger than us physically, Jason, and they're kind of manhandling us. And I saw the contact going on. And look, I thought Pitty got mugged. I also thought Pitty kind of had a sloppy performance. How would you rate Martinez's day?
Yeah, Pitty really struggled, and it's one of those games where, is it the travel that he's not used to? Is it the amount of minutes he's played lately? He didn't have that spark that you really needed in this one, because after the red card, when New York got that red card, I thought they were starting to struggle as the first half went on, because they came out with a ton of energy. They were pressing. Atlanta made a really smart tactical decision early on to say, we're going to go back to what worked in the postseason in a lot of ways. We're going to play over the press. We're going to play direct, and we're going to make the Red Bulls do something with the ball at their feet. Giveaways everywhere. And New York started dropping deeper. They started really struggling. Atlanta had multiple chances. Then the red card. That simplified the game defensively for New York, because then you can't press. Then you have to sit back, and you had two lines of four. This was a game where you really needed Pitty to find the space in between the lines and in between the channels. And he struggled. He was getting manhandled. but he got frustrated about it as well and just was not a factor when you needed him to be.
We are talking with Jason Longshore, guys, about Atlanta United. We lose 1-0 to the Red Bulls. It's a match in where, you know, the frustration level for at least in United fans was, hey, they're down a man. We can't find a way to get it done. Where do you think we lacked opportunities when we had this opportunity of 55 minutes of the match where it looked like maybe we could go up to, you know, score 2 goals, and yet we couldn't?
Yeah, you couldn't break down a team that sat back deeper, and they didn't sit back all the way. Once they got the goal, they did. They dropped deeper. But you got to remember, this is a really good defensive team in the New York Red Bulls, and I think there's a little bit of a fallacy about, oh, you have a man advantage, so it should be easy.
Right.
Go ask LAFC, who is the best attacking team in the league, why they couldn't score multiple goals on 10-man Seattle when they had a man advantage for 80 minutes, or last night when they had a man advantage for 40 in Dallas, and they couldn't add another goal. It's not that easy all the time. And the Red Bulls actually have a really good record when they get these red cards because they're strong defensively and they're able to just keep things simple. I thought Chris Armas, we wondered at halftime what Chris Armas would do tactically mm-hmm. with losing the man. Would they go to more of a 3-3-3 or a 3-4-2? He opted for a 4-4-1. So it was two banks of four, very tight, very compact. And that closed out all of the space for Atlanta. They had space out wide. They couldn't put in good crosses. They couldn't make anything of it. And they just weren't creating enough opportunities last night.
Jason Longshore with us, guys. Brought to you by Heineken. Heineken 0.00.0. Great taste. Zero alcohol. Armas kind of got beat up by the national soccer media for the way they thought he might have mishandled our matches with them in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and I thought he did. And some of that was down to losing Kamar Lawrence, to be perfectly honest. Kamar Lawrence was injured going into the postseason. And I think maybe Armas overthought it and didn't think he could press the same way without Lawrence. And the first leg here at Mercedes-Benz, he got the tactics wrong. And he got them right in this case. And I thought he won the day with that move. And also, then the flip side, and people have talked about substitutions for Atlanta, you got to remember where, yes, you had a man advantage, but you also came back from Vancouver. And you had played on short rest and short rest and short rest. This was the fourth game where you played an opponent with more rest. And the Red Bulls were off from last Saturday until this game on Sunday. Atlanta played twice in that time frame. It catches up to you. There's only been one team that has won 5 games in 14 days, which is what Atlanta was going for yesterday. Mm-hmm. One team in Major League Soccer history. Not easy to do.
It is Jason Longshore, guys. So we drop a result, even though, you know, we were taking on a shorthanded team. Now we turn our attention to Real Salt Lake on Friday. What is the expectation there?
Frank DeBoer talked about it. He's given the guys a couple days off. I think the just tired legs have caught up to him a bit. So you're going to train on Wednesday and then head out to Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City, Real Salt Lake is a very inconsistent team. They have a lot of really good young players, but their results are all over the place week to week. Albert Rusnak is the player that I fear the most. He plays kind of as a second forward or a number 10 for them. Very skilled, one of the under the radar stars in this league. And they have a lot of attacking young talent that can cause you problems. Atlanta has to be sharp because Salt Lake's coming off of a big win over Toronto 3-0 last weekend.
It is our man, Jason Longshore, guys. Disappointing loss, as we said, but an amazing run leading up to that. We really had gotten almost looking if we were going to get max points, Jason. We've jumped up in the standings, so after looking dead in the water in the month after March was over, we're just 4 points behind Philadelphia and D.C. United. So you feel we finally kind of found an equilibrium. We also made the move picking up Justin Miram. Can that be a guy that might be an X factor for us in the next third of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was a really good addition when he became available from Columbus. And look, the team's turned the corner. I think the reaction to this loss was a little surprising, and that's what's fun about this game sometimes, is if you had said at the beginning of this run of 6 games that they would have went 5-1 with it, nobody would have said no.
Right.
Nobody would have said no to that. Everybody would have taken it in a heartbeat. But because of the way it happened, you have a little bit different feeling about it, and then that adds a little more pressure to this Salt Lake game on Friday as well.
Jason, as you look at the things that have worked well for us and why we have played well in meshing, what's been the number one thing? I asked this question to some, you know, United fans we were talking over the weekend, And they were trying to get me to say, hey, what's the one thing? What is it that you think has allowed us to be as successful over these last four matches leading into this one, you know, over the weekend?
I think the organization has, because they've won games in that run before Sunday in different ways. They would dominate possession one game. They'd have 45% of possession the next time, still creating a good number of chances, even though the finishing hasn't quite been where you'd want it to be. Mm-hmm. But it's been the variety of ways. And you do that because you're organized. And that's why the goal that you gave up yesterday does hurt more, because it was a lack of organization. And it was the transition for the Red Bulls, which is something that they excel at, going from defense to offense. Atlanta going from offense to defense was a little slow, and there were multiple players caught out and just kind of caught out of sync in that moment, and Red Bulls punish you for it. The organization has been so good up to that. That's why that one surprised me a little bit, the way they conceded yesterday.
Right. Look, as you said, it's a lot of matches in a short period of time, and like, we're not going to win every match. I'm just happy that we're in the playoffs right now. I am excited to, you know, come back from vacay. We're still kicking butt. It's just, as Carl said, style makes the fight. They're attacking, so we thought we could get the counter stuff working early. We kind of withstood. They even hit the crossbar early, right? I thought, okay, we're gonna have a real, it'll be a shooting match here. And then when it degenerates to, you know, basically being able to park the bus, you're right. Sometimes a man down is not what you want to see in a match.
Yeah, it was really tough in this one, because it becomes a little bit of a trap. Because Atlanta comes in it's a trap. They come in knowing they can't run with the Red Bulls yesterday. They didn't have the legs to do it. So once they made their change to go a little more direct and they started to grab control of the game, everything's good. When that red card happens, then all the expectations change. For the Red Bulls, they get a point, they're happy. If Atlanta doesn't get a win, people are going to have questions. So you have to go for it a little bit more and expose yourself to that counter, and you don't have the legs to deal with it or the mental focus to deal with it because, yes, you're tired.
I want to be clear. You said it when you came on the show today. We don't like the Red Bulls, and they are our rival. And July 9th, it is on in this rematch on various levels, and especially after the situation with Tito. I just thought it was disrespectful, man. I did. You know, soccer, flopping and falling and tackling is one thing. To yell over the top of a guy who I think your intention was to probably try to injure him, right, is just completely, you know, there's no room for error there. You can't explain that to me. So my level of intensity as a fan just went up, Jason.
Yeah, there's been so much talk about rivalry. And if you're a Liverpool fan, for example, you'll understand where I'm going with this. Liverpool has a local rivalry with Everton, right, but they have a blood feud with Manchester United. What Atlanta has with Orlando feels a little more like a local rivalry right now, mm-hmm, whereas Atlanta and the Red Bulls is starting to feel like a blood feud, because every game has an incident. Every game has a little extra spice. And now you've got another one coming up this year where Atlanta, yes, knocked them out of the playoffs last year. And when you can taunt somebody with holding up a trophy, that's a pretty good spot to be in.
Oh, yeah.
But the Red Bulls have had Atlanta's number in the regular season.
Right. That's why we were so blown away. We were able to get it done the way we were in that first leg and then grind it out. You know, we had the great rally and everyone watching the viewing party last year at Atlantic Station. Their fans are nuts. You know, they're blabbing about the supporter shield. Like, we got the trophy. I was sitting one guy up on Twitter yesterday. I'm like, see the little star on top of the logo? We've got one of those.
You don't get those for supporter shields. And I think the supporter shield is a great accomplishment, and it's something that Atlanta United obviously wants to win as well. But in this league with playoffs, MLS Cup is what defines the champion, and Atlanta United is that champion right now.
Jason, great job. He is Jason Longshore, guys. Follow him on Twitter at Longshoe, and it's brought to you by Heineken. Great taste, zero alcohol here on Dukes and Bell. Coming up, who is this Anthony Swarzak guy that the Braves have picked up? And we'll go around the NFL. Falcons, OTAs, which we'll talk more about in the Falcon Report. It's all on the way on Dukes and Bell.
She knows who you are, who you really are. You'll always be a threat to her. And I know a killer when I see one.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.